prayer. Father, it is so good to be here, to be amongst your people, to be in your presence. And God, as we dig into your word, may it challenge us where we need to be challenged and encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And may you be glorified in everything we do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this was many, many years ago. I just started doing youth ministry. I was over at Bethel. Had a youth pastor there named Jack. And Jack decided it was a good idea to take our junior high group down to Oregon for this event called the Junior High Riot. Tell you, there is not a more appropriately named event than that. And it was terrifying. There were 1,200 junior hires there. And on our last day, they had us go out into the middle of this enormous, I mean huge, pit of oatmeal, which was about probably about that deep. I had no idea what we're supposed to be doing, but me and Jack and the other leaders and all of our kids went out right into the middle of this thing. And then all of a sudden I hear a whistle and someone say, go. I'm thinking, what are we supposed to do? Well, I don't know, put hundreds of junior hires in a pit of oatmeal and you can kind of figure out what they're going to do. Aim for the big target. So all of a sudden, I'm getting pelted with balls of oatmeal. Kids are coming up behind me and stick it in my face. And at some point, I am so covered. It's in my ears. It's in my mouth. It's in my nose. I can't see anything. And I'm starting to get a little bit panicked because I don't really like that feeling very much. So I've kind of pulled the oatmeal out of my eyes, and I'm looking around, and I don't see any of our other leaders. I don't even see any of our kids. All I see are hundreds of little monsters. It's like Satan opened up hell and all of his little demons came out with oatmeal. Because these kids were going crazy. I mean, they are attacking, they're screaming, and I just want out of this thing, but I don't know where to go. And all of a sudden, I feel this hand, bam, land on my shoulder. And I turned around and it was Jack, our youth pastor. Of course, he had a handful of oatmeal that he just went right into my face. Thanks, Jack. But he said, hey, let me get you out of here. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you, because they're all coming for me and they're monsters. You ever feel like that? In this crazy world, this world is kind of gone nutty. And sometimes it's easy to feel like we're kind of lost in the middle of this thing. Or maybe even that we've been forgotten in all of this. Well, friends, take heart, because God is still here. Now, when we've been looking at Malachi, if you've been here for a large part of the summer, you know we've been going through this book. And honestly, it's pretty bleak. There's not a lot of happy going on in Malachi. If you're looking for one of those uplifting books, you might not want to do Malachi for a while. But today, in our text, we finally have a glimmer of hope. See, everything that we've read so far has, like I said, been bleak because God has been condemning the people and especially the priests of Malachi's time because of their poor offerings, but even more, their poor attitudes, the things going on in their hearts that are so far. You know, as I listened to Val sing that song, I was thinking, yeah, that's not the people of Malachi. That is not their song at all. And yet this glimmer of hope shows up. And it says that there were some who feared God. And what did they do? They got together and talked with each other. Now, when we use our Christianese language, we would call that fellowship. Now, what did they talk about? No idea. I'm kind of guessing they were probably considering all the words that God had been speaking to the people and priests through Malachi, thinking, oh boy, you know, this is bad. And it's interesting that as they talk with each other, it says a scroll of remembrance was written in the presence of God concerning those who feared him and honored his name. Now, it's interesting when you look at this scroll, depending on which scholar you talk to, although you probably don't. I didn't talk to any scholars. I just read their books. But kind of depending on which one you read, some believe this was a scroll written by these people who feared God. You know, maybe kind of on this day type of thing. I tend to lean towards the other view, which I think this was a scroll written in heaven. This isn't the first time we see books or scrolls in heaven. Read Revelation, they're there. We know there's the Lamb's Book of Life, which has the names of all those apparently who will be saved, and hopefully we'll all be in that book. So this isn't a strange concept for them. This was something the Persian kings often did, so this is not just a heavenly concept, but an earthly concept. Esther chapter 1, you can see they do this very thing. They write a scroll or a book of remembrance. And often kings would do this as a reminder of who they were going to show favor to. You know, if someone had done an act of valor, act of kindness, the king said, well, I promise, you know, I will do these things, and they would write these down as a reminder later on. Now, for these folks who feared God, obviously this scroll is not written so God will remember, because I don't think he's going to be up there going, God, wasn't I going to be nice to somebody? Oh, that's right, there it is. I'm glad I wrote this down. God doesn't have to work like that, thankfully. Now, this wasn't for his sake. This was for their sake, because it assured them that on that day, okay, and we hear God say, on that day when I come, what he's speaking of is a day of judgment. We'll see that in chapter 4. And so it assures them that on that day, God will protect them. God will spare them. And even more than that, he says, they are my treasured possession. Now, in the Hebrew, that term signifies something that has the highest value you could place on something. And that's what God says about his people, this remnant. This is where we see this concept of a remnant. And what distinguishes them? What is the distinction between them and the wicked? God says, it's those who serve me. It's those who serve me and fear me and honor me. And so it says he spares them from this terrifying judgment just as a father would spare his own son. Now, this concept of remnant, this isn't a new concept in Malachi. We see this all through the Old Testament. God seems to always keep a people for himself, no matter how crazy everything else is going around. He always keeps this special group, this treasured possession. But it's not just an Old Testament concept. We see the same idea in our gospel reading today in Luke. When Jesus says, basically, on that day, God will give justice to his chosen ones, and it will be quick. That's his remnant that he's speaking of. In our Romans reading today, the Apostle Paul reminds us there that just as with Elijah, God still keeps a remnant today. Now, the situation with Elijah, if you don't know who Elijah was, he was a great prophet of Israel, did amazing things. God did all sorts of things through him. He was always battling false prophets and doing all these great things. But Elijah gets to the point where he's tired. He comes before God and says, I'm the only one. They've killed all the other ones. I'm alone. I'm the only one who's serving you, God. And God says, oh, Elijah, no, you're not. He says, I have 7,000 that I have set aside as my remnant that I will protect. And so I guess I look at it as if God has chosen a remnant, if he has called a people to himself, doesn't it stand to reason that God will be the one who protects and preserves those people? Now let's go back to our Malachi text. Just a reminder, again, Malachi, the situation was bad with him. People were not honoring God, they weren't fearing God, they weren't serving God in the right way. Doesn't that sound familiar? Where have I seen a society that does all that? Oh, that's right. We're living in that society. I don't know about you, but especially over the last few years, I have woken up many mornings just going, what happened? How did things get crazy so fast? What is happening to this world we're living in? It seems to just be going nutty. You look at how the world views God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it's all over the place. It's kind of what anyone thinks, just throws it out there, and well, that must be the truth, instead of actually going to God's Word and being instructed from there. Views are all over the place. People have just the strangest concept, and you see it in their actions of how they act. It's crazy. And it's very easy to get to a point where you just say, where's God? Did he leave? Has he forgotten us? I mean, surely he has, because look how crazy everything is around us. So what do we do? Well, I think those who fear God, honor God, and serve God, we need to keep coming together and talking to each other. We need to continue to meet together. Just as the author of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together like some are in the habit of doing. We continue to come together and proclaim the good news that our God is alive, that our God is active, that our God is sovereign over all things. Friend, and I say this in the singular because I wish I could sit down with each one of you and say this to you face to face. It's kind of hard to do, and that would make the sermon run a really long time. But friend, you may feel alone. Wherever you're at, you may feel like you're the only one. Maybe it's at work, and you feel like you're the only one there who really wants to serve God. Or maybe it's at school, and you feel like you're the only one there who loves Jesus. Might even be at home, where you're the only one there who truly wants to follow after Christ. Well, take heart, because God is still here. He has not left you alone. He still has a remnant. He still has a treasured possession. Now, it may not feel like it, but that doesn't change the fact that God is still here. And he still hears us and listens to his people. That's one of the things I love with our services. I love the fact that we have the prayers of the church, that we have a time where we all lift our hearts together, and we even have these opportunities to just pray the things on our own hearts. And we do this because he still hears us and he still listens to us. And so we continue to honor him, we continue to serve him, because we believe and trust that he is still here. And we can do this because he's the one who promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We'll hear this in our benediction today, the words from Jesus, that surely he is with us always to the very end of the age. It's just like a hand that reaches out and grabs you when you're in the middle of a giant oatmeal pit surrounded by little oatmeal monsters. It's that hand that reaches out and touches you and says, it's okay, I'm right here. And I think what's beautiful is that we still see him at work. He's still changing lives. You know, Steve and I have, that's one of the greatest privileges, I think, of our positions. As so many of you, when God is doing something in your life, you come to us and tell us, and we celebrate that, and that's wonderful. But please make sure you're telling each other those stories. What an encouragement to each other when people can say, before service, after service, use that time to say, this is what God's doing. Because he's still in the business of changing lives. He's still bringing reconciliation between us and the Father. He's bringing reconciliation among each other. So take heart, because God is still here. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, or that in some way we're perfect in all of this, because we're not. And I'm reminded, even though that hand came and Jack rescued me out of the giant oatmeal pit, I was still covered with oatmeal. I was still pretty beat up from this whole thing. And what made it even worse is that we couldn't shower. This was in southern Oregon, and we had to drive back in the middle of summer with no air conditioning, covered in oatmeal, chicken parts, unidentifiable liquid, and we smelled. And that stuff was stuck in every body cavity that you can imagine. But you know, even though I was taken out of the oatmeal pit, I was protected. I still was wearing the stuff. And that's kind of how it is with us. We're going to be beat up by this world. Jesus said, look, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you too. He says, but it's okay because I've overcome the world. And haven't you found that when everything is going crazy around you, everything's falling apart or everything is spinning out of control, isn't Jesus the eye of the storm? And isn't he the one that comes out into the middle of the oatmeal and says, it's okay, I'm here. I'm here. Isn't he the one that we go to find our peace? To find our purpose? And you know, when the world's going crazy and we find that, that's so encouraging to us and we can encourage each other, but, and I really didn't want to have to go to this but the text kind of forced me to. There's a question that Jesus asks in our gospel reading that I find very haunting. He says, when the Son of Man comes, and this is speaking of on that day, Jesus says, will he find faith on the earth? Well, that's kind of a brutal question. As I was thinking about that, and as I was reading this text from Malachi, it seems like the text has brought us to this place where it's asking us a question. Very important question. It's almost like the text is saying, so, where are you at? Are you like the people and the priests in the time of Malachi that thought they were okay with God because they were just kind of going through the motions? Hey, we're still showing up. We're bringing offerings. They might not be the best offerings, but we're still here. Or are you one of those who fear the Lord? Because it's not just about showing up. It's not just about going through the motions. It's about lives that are fully surrendered to Christ. Because we know it's not about works. You know, Paul alludes to this in the Romans text when he says, you know, this remnant is not chosen by works. It's not that something you can, well, if I do enough, then hey, I made it into the remnant club. No. It says the remnant is chosen by grace. That's always a matter of the heart. You see, that was the big issue with the people in the time of Malachi. It was their hearts that were wrong. And when we talk about being chosen by grace, grace always has to do with the heart. So where is your heart? Are you just going through the motions, or are you fully surrendered? When Jesus asks, will I find faith on the earth? I hope that you and me and all of us together as God's people will say, yes, yes, Lord, you do have a remnant. We are right here. We have not compromised our faith or our trust in you. We are serving you. We are fearing you. We are honoring you. Yes, Lord, you do have a remnant, and we will continue to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. And we do this because he is the one who has promised to always be with us. God is still here. And so let's continue to fear him and honor him and serve him. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and maybe you've gone to church for years and years, and you're just coming to the realization that, you know, maybe I've been just going through the motions of all of this. Maybe I don't really truly know Christ. Maybe I've never really fully surrendered to him. Then please, don't waste any more time. Because that day that he speaks of, we don't know when that's going to happen. And if you are not found in Christ as his remnant, you won't be spared. And that's a terrifying thought. However, if you are in Christ, then may this be an encouragement to take heart, because God is still here and he still has his treasured possession. Amen. Please stand as we